Imagine if you could crack the security behind RSA encryption using not brute force, but a smooth curve and a bit of calculus. Today, we're unpacking a method that turns the age-old problem of factoring large numbers into a game of gradient descent.
That's wild, because most people think of integer factorization as a purely discrete, almost trial-and-error type process. I'm excited to dig into how this approach reimagines the whole landscape. I'm your co-host, and together we'll guide you through this journey.
So on this episode, you're going to hear how semiprimes, those products of two large primes, can be factored by minimizing a smooth, continuous function. We'll walk you through the geometric intuition, the actual gradient descent process, and yes, what it means in the world of cryptography.
Here's the roadmap. First, we'll break down the core equations and the role of the mysterious gap variable. Next, we'll visualize the loss landscape and explain why collapse is more than just a metaphor. We'll get hands-on with a gradient-based algorithm, compare it to classic Fermat's method, and close with some cryptographic wisdom and code in action.
Let's kick things off with the core idea. Instead of searching for the two unknown primes, P and Q, directly, we focus on their gap literally, the difference to between them.
Right! And what's neat is that once you fix the product C, which is P times Q, the relationship between P, Q, and D becomes a simple equation. C equals P squared plus D times P. That means for every possible gap D, there's at most one possible P.
And the magic happens when you realize that P is an integer only if D squared plus 4C is a perfect square. So, suddenly, factoring C boils down to finding a D that makes this expression a perfect square.
That's such a cool reduction. Instead of brute forcing pairs, you're just sweeping over possible gaps. But, as we'll see soon, the authors make this even more efficient by mapping it onto a continuous landscape.
Here's where things get interesting. They define a loss function. Call it L of D, that's zero. Exactly when D squared plus 4C is a perfect square. It's a beautiful, wave-like function based on the sine squared of pi times the square root.
Exactly. And this loss isn't just for show. Because it's smooth, you can compute its gradient, which is the secret sauce for applying gradient descent. When the loss hits zero, you've essentially collapsed onto the true gap.
It's almost like the landscape has valleys at the right gaps, and the algorithm tries to roll a ball downhill into one of those valleys. But only the global minimum leads to the actual prime factors.
I love that visual. And since the landscape has lots of local minima at half-integer spots, it's not just about rolling once you might have to try several times, which brings us to the need for restarts.
Let's dig into how gradient descent actually works here. At each step, you compute the gradient of the loss with respect to the gap D and nudge D in the direction that decreases the loss.
And what's remarkable is that, as you get closer to a minimum, the loss plummets exponentially, meaning the solution collapses toward the gap, almost like a physical system settling into a stable state.
But because there are so many local minima, especially when the gap is large, the process might get stuck. That's why the algorithm uses random restarts, giving it multiple shots at finding the true gap.
And once you land in the right basin, you converge insanely fast. This is where the method really shines, especially for semiprimes whose factors are close together, which, as we'll see, is relevant for actual cryptographic keys.
Stepping back, the connection to probability is pretty elegant too. The original CCT approach updated a probability distribution over gaps, collapsing the uncertainty as you iterate. The gradient method is like a deterministic cousin to that idea.
And the hands-on algorithm is surprisingly simple. You initialize D randomly, use an optimizer like Atom to descend the loss, and crucially do this several times to dodge the traps. Once the loss is close enough to zero, you reconstruct P and Q and check for primality.
And if all else fails, the algorithm falls back on classical Fermat search, which just sweeps upward from the square root a nice safety net. But in most cases, especially for close primes, gradient descent finds the factors exponentially faster.
It's a great example of blending probabilistic ideas with continuous optimization. Plus, the complexity analysis suggests real gains for the kinds of numbers used in encryption.
So, what does all this mean for cryptography, especially RSA? Well, if you pick your primes too close together, this method could find them much faster than traditional searches.
Which, thankfully, is something most modern implementations avoid. But the experiments in the paper are eye-opening. For balanced 2-0-digit semiprimes, the algorithm nails the answer in just a few hundred steps, way ahead of a naive scan.
On the flip side, when the gap is huge, the basin of attraction shrinks, and the algorithm can struggle, requiring lots of restarts, sometimes even more than classic methods. That explains why the fallback is necessary.
Still, it's an important security insight. Whenever cryptographic keys are generated, making sure the primes aren't too close isn't just tradition. It's a defense against attacks like this.
Let's wrap up with the big lessons. First, integer factorization can be reframed as a continuous optimization problem, which opens up powerful new tools like gradient descent.
Second, the loss landscape features a unique global minimum at the true gap, making it possible to collapse to the answer extremely quickly, especially when the prime factors are close.
Third, for cryptographic applications, this method highlights the risk of choosing primes that are too similar. Even seemingly random gaps matter for security.
So, if you want to experiment, grab the PyTorch code from the paper or our show notes and factor some numbers yourself. It's a great exercise in blending math and machine learning.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, share it with a friend who geeks out about cryptography or optimization. We'll see you next time for more math and code in action.